All went well for a couple of minutes. Then I felt the bed shaking again. I lifted my head and looked over at Drover. Are you shivering again? Well, I don't think so. I'm about to freeze, but I've been trying extra hard not to shiver. That's odd. I'm almost sure I felt the bed. I seem to be shivering. It's cold, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's getting colder by the minute. You reckon we ought to pile on top of each other to stay warm?
No, absolutely not. Go to sleep. I thought about the piling on deal for a moment. Actually, that's not such a bad idea. Our bodies could share their warmth.
Yeah, and sharing's part of good manners.
Good point. Okay, we'll try it. But I'm on top.
Okay with me, 'cause it's warmer on the bottom.
I studied him for a moment. Which is why I'm taking the bottom.
I thought you wanted the top.
I was misquoted, Drover. You must beware of misquoting others and leaping to conclusions. He raised himself and plopped down on top of me.
He was heavier than you might have supposed, but
also pretty warm. I figured I could stand it for one night. I closed my eyes, shifted my breathing control over to the slow and deep setting, and drifted off into a foot in my face. Drover, get your foot out of my face this very minute.
Myrtle, Skiffer, Pork Chop, Faceless Footies, Ricky Tattoo.
I spun my legs for several seconds until I got a firm grip on the porch. Then I heaved myself upward and threw him off my back. When he sat up, his ears were crooked. Drover, this isn't working. I can't sleep with your foot in my face all night. I guess we'll have to... Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I've got an idea, and I think this one will work. I began pacing back and forth in front of the runt, as I often do when a brilliant idea begins taking root in the vast fields of my mind. Taking root, I should say. I've got it, Drover. Here's the deal. We'll sing our way into the house. We've done it before. Maybe it'll work one more time.
Yeah, but I still can't carry a tune. And this is survivest of the fiddles. You already said so.
Never mind the fiddles. We don't need fiddles for this. We'll do it with our own voices. And we're going to attack his heart.
You mean give him a heart attack?
No, you don't understand. We're going to sing a song so sad and full of tragedy, it will penetrate into the deepest bones of his heart.
I'd rather penetrate his house.
That comes next, Drover. First we win the heart, then we win the house.
Yeah, but we don't have a song. I'm so cold. The only song I can remember is Three Blind Ducks.
It's Three Blind Mice.
I don't know that one.
It doesn't matter, Drover. I've got the song. All we have to do is belt it out. Stand by for heavy-duty singing. We parked ourselves right in front of the door and shivered and moaned and beamed our most pathetic looks towards the house. Here's how it went.
Slim, we're well aware that you're cozy in your shack, reading Western Horseman and preparing for the sack. You're drinking a hot chocolate. Your feet are warm and dry, 'cause you held them to the stove until they were about to fry. We dogs are very glad that the cold has lost its sting. You're sitting in your castle like a pampered cowboy king. We know that you worked hard today outside in wind and snow, but there's one more little thing we think you really ought to know. We're freezing, our tails.
My dearie, he's frozen as stiff as a nail.
The snowdrifts grow deeper, the winds blow a gale. We're freezing, we're freezing, we're freezing our tails. Slim, we're well aware that you're not the kind of guy who'd harm a helpless creature or even kill a fly. We know careful, that you would worry if you found careful, a homeless tragedy. Mouse. So could we talk about the chances of our moving in your house? We know a guilty conscience is very hard to bear. It worries us most deeply that you're sitting in your chair, consumed with guilty feelings, contemplating all your sins, 'cause your dogs are shaking on the porch, just begging to get in. We're freezing, we're freezing, we're freezing our tails.
My derriere's frozen as stiff as a nail.
The snowdrifts grow deeper, the winds blow a gale. We're freezing, we're freezing, we're freezing our tails. We're freezing, we're freezing, we're freezing our tails.
My honey's still frozen as stiff as a nail.
The snowdrifts grow deeper, the winds blow a gale. We're freezing, we're freezing, we're freezing our tails.
We're freezing, we're freezing. We're freezing our tails.
Freezing our tails.
Freezing our tails.
Yes, we belted it out right there on the porch and also added some world-class howling and moaning to add to the overall effect. About halfway through the song, I noticed Slim's face at the window. Then, just as we were winding up the last chorus, the door popped open and he stuck his head out.
Is this likely to go on all night?
Grover and I nodded our heads.
Is there anything I could do, short of killing y'all, that would cut down on the noise?
Oh yes, just let us in the, you know, house. That simple.
Slim heaved a sigh. You knotheads. Okay, come on in. Only we ain't. We flew into the house. Going to make a habit of this and don't get on the furniture.
Furniture? Ha! No problem. There wasn't any furniture. Shucks, this was a real luxury. We had a cowhide rug on the floor and a nice wood stove to keep us warm. Was there more to life than this? I didn't think so. Slim flopped into his chair and opened his Ben K. Green book and started reading. Drover curled up into a ball and went right to sleep. I flopped down, and noticed a wrinkle in the cowhide right where my shoulder was resting. I wiggled around and tried to smooth it out. That didn't work. So I went through the entire jack up and rise procedure, got to my feet, and began digging on the wrinkle. I did this as quietly as possible, but Slim must have heard it. His eyes came over the top of his book.
Hank, don't be digging up Leonard's carpet.
Fine, no problem. If that's the way he felt about it, I would take what was offered and suffer in silence. Or at least until he went to bed. Around 9:30, he yawned and put his book aside, rose from the chair and announced,
"This excitement has wore me out. After I visit Mrs. Murphy, I'll be ready for some serious wintertime sleeping."
He pulled on his boots and coat and went outside. Drover slept through all of this, but I didn't. I had picked up some clues about the mysterious Mrs. Murphy, don't you see? And I was curious to know just who she was and what she did around here. I went to the window, hopped up on my back legs, and peered out into the darkness. Yes. Through squinted eyes, I observed, a rusted window screen was about all I could see. I mean, it was so old and corroded, you could hardly see out of it. The only other window on that side of the trailer was just above Slim's couch bed. Did I dare trespass on the bed to get a look outside? He had, after all, said something about staying off the furniture. On the other hand, I really needed to know about this Mrs. Murphy character. If this was going to be our home, even on a temporary basis, it was pretty important for me to know who came and went, right? Some dogs get serious about guarding the house and some don't. It was pretty clear that Drover didn't, but I sure did. To me, guarding the house was a serious and heavy responsibility. And yes, I had to know who she was, this elusive, mysterious Mrs. Murphy. I leaped up onto the bed, parted a set of dusty little curtains with my nose, and peered out into the night. At first, I saw nothing and no one. Then, all of a sudden, I saw a strange man come out of a, well, some type of small, narrow shed or building just beyond the horse pen. I hadn't noticed it before. It sat in the chinaberry grove. It had a slanted roof and a door that took up most of the east side. I mean, this was a very small shed, just barely large enough to hold one man. And who was that guy coming out? He wore cowboy clothes, but no hat. That was a pretty important clue right there. No normal cowboy would be out in this cold weather without his hat. I made a mental note of this. I had a feeling that it might be crucial later in the investigation. This man, this strange man who had come out of the shed, appeared to be walking towards our trailer. I felt the hair rising on my back, and a growl began to rumble in the depths of my throat. The pieces of this puzzle were falling into place, all too well and all too soon, and it was beginning to look pretty bad. Are you keeping a list of clues? Maybe not, so let me list them. Clue number one, Slim was nowhere in sight. Clue number two, a strange hatless man was approaching the house. Clue number three, most worrisome of all, Mrs. Murphy was obviously hiding somewhere. Was she lurking behind the chinaberry trees? Or was it possible that she had taken refuge in the shed? And who was she? A spy, no doubt. An enemy spy who had been sent to do something. At this point, we had many questions and very few answers. What we did have was plenty of reason to move into alert stage one. Drover, wake up. I don't want to alarm you, but a strange man is approaching the house. His head came up. One ear up and the other sagging.
Did someone call my name?
Yes, I did. Now listen carefully. There's a strange man approaching the house. He will be at the door in less than 10 seconds. Slim has disappeared without a trace. We don't know what happened to him, but we suspect that Mrs. Murphy had something to do with it. If the stranger comes into the house, we have no escape route. We may have to fight to the death. That got his attention. His eyes ballooned.
Fight to the death? Oh my gosh, oh my leg, help, Mayday!
He began squeaking and running in circles.
Stop squeaking and bark. We've got to let this guy know that the house is being defended. Maybe if we throw up a withering barrage of barking, he'll get the message and leave.
And that's what we did. We pointed ourselves towards the door and unleashed our most ferocious barrage of barking. Even Drover threw himself into the effort. Once the little mutt realized the seriousness of our situation, that our backs were against the wall, he came up with some pretty good barks. There for a minute, I thought we had stopped him. The intruder, that is, with our withering sufferings. But then I saw the doorknob turn, and I heard the click of the latch. We both stopped barking and stared at the door. I swallowed hard. Okay, son, We gave it our best shot, and it didn't work. We have no choice now but to go to reverse battle stations. I could hear his teeth chattering.
Reverse battle stations? What does that mean?
It means hide, you dunce. This is every dog for himself. Run for your life! In the panic that followed this announcement, Drover scrambled into a tiny space beneath the chair. This left me with no place to go, so in sheer desperation, I went into bunker position beneath the covers on Slim's bed. Then, in the eerie silence, we listened. The door opened. Footsteps entered the house. The door slammed shut. I could hear the pounding of my heart. In the deathly silence, it sounded like the thumping of a wash tub. I could only hope that Drover didn't squeak or do anything else to give us away. I heard a man cough. Then I heard another sound. The swish of a coat being removed and dropped upon the floor. Uh-oh. What if he planned to stay for a while? Could we maintain radio silence over a long period of time? It would be tough, especially for little Mr. Moan and Groan. Then, suddenly a voice cut through the silence. It said, and this is an exact quote, it said, "Well, I'm back from Mrs. Murphy's." Huh?